We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters Confronting Evil in Our Time podcast. We're covering the biblical Easter eggs and we're on to letter five. We just covered a great letter in letter four all about prayer. And Galen, it was really revelatory. It went down some deep paths with prayer and actually strengthened my resolve to pray more. And here we are in letter five. And the big standout for me actually comes at the end, which is the line that Screwtape uses about suffering is part of redemption. Which for anyone in the Word, Jesus suffered for us.
Right. The ultimate suffering for the ultimate redemption.
Right. And if Christ does that for us, the idea that we as humans would go through life with no suffering whatsoever is kind of strange. We are flesh, and therefore we die at some point. And on the way there, there's going to be a certain amount of suffering. And one would hope not a lot. But within letter five, they're also talking about wartime as well. Right. And obviously within war, there's an awful lot of suffering.
Right. So, I mean, obviously the main Easter egg is talking about, and even in the chapter, if you have the book, he actually capitalizes the letter R in redemption, because there is no redemption without suffering, without the remission of sin, or without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It says, I believe it's in Hebrews. There has to be a fundamental level of suffering. Sin has to be atoned for. And the Father turned his back on the Son at the cross and crushed Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. That is the principle. There has to be a bruising. There has to be a death. There has to be a shedding of blood in order for a good thing to happen. And that's a principle, first and foremost, that transcended heaven and earth and reunited the two at the cross of Jesus Christ. But it's also a principle that plays itself out all throughout the human experience. You know, no pain, no gain is kind of the rule, especially at wartime, when you have to stand up for something good. You have to be able to stand up for righteousness, and it's going to cost you something.
Yeah. Now, they're talking about World War II here, and there's a brilliant movie just come out about Bonhoeffer. He was a German Catholic priest.
I still need to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And talk about suffering for your God. Bonhoeffer could have easily capitulated and lived his way through the Second World War, handed over the Jews, and not gone out of his way to protect them. But he decided that, no, he was going to be strong with this, and he ultimately was hung just before the end of the World War II. He suffered in prison. But yeah, that's what a noble life to have led. Can you imagine being someone, and we've seen them in years gone by, and it's amazing that we still find them, which is, found old guard who worked at a Nazi death camp. Would you rather be Bonhoeffer, who died and had that legacy, versus someone who lived and had the legacy of being a guard at a Nazi concentration
camp? Right. And, you know, as we were talking through this episode, you pointed out a passage. And as soon as you said, I thought, hey, how come that didn't pop into my mind? From John chapter 15, and I pulled it up here because you'd mentioned it. We pulled it up. John chapter 15, this is Jesus leading up to his time on the cross, giving some final words to his disciples. And he says, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Kind of call this a Easter egg part two, or, you know, Easter egg B in this episode, because it does tie in. Jesus, right before going to the cross, did set an example and a model that there's no greater love that a man can have than to sacrifice his life, endure suffering, and do something that costs him something for the benefit of somebody else, which obviously Jesus was talking about himself, about to go to the cross and die and give up his own life for his friends, his disciples, he calls friends. But it's also what, like I said, we see that in humanity. We see that in World War II. People are giving up their lives for a cause that they believe in. And it's a noble thing. And it's a Christ-like thing to do.
Now, I will say that I think those two are very much intertwined, because when Jesus is in the garden and he's asking, take this cup away from me, he knows the suffering that's about to come. So he's aware of the suffering that's to come. He's talking about laying down his life for his friends. And it's great to think that we are friends of Christ. But he knows he's going to suffer. So I think that the line where they're talking about, you know, humans giving their life for causes they think are good, and the demonic think this is terrible, and that God rewards that, even though God disapproves of war. Now, this is the great conflict within here, which is you've got this line talking about how God disapproves of war because, you know, God doesn't want us to live a violent life. But then there's also the part which is evil will not stop itself. And God wants us to stand up when that time comes to stop evil.
Right. Yeah, he says there, the line you're referencing, he says, now I know the enemy disapproves of many of these causes, talking about people standing for this side or that side, and in this case, war. He often, but that is where he is so unfair, because he, God, often makes prizes of humans who have given their lives for causes he thinks bad on the monstrously sophistical grounds that the humans thought them good and were following the best they knew how. Maybe not a lot of ways you can take that, but to me, I kind of take that to mean there's never a perfect circumstance where any human war is perfectly good versus perfectly evil. Right. But at least you have people that are standing up for what they believe to be right. People that are identifying evil and saying, no, that's wrong. We are going to fight against this. And any nation that's even decently sophisticated, certainly the nations that were involved in World War II, didn't want to jump into war. It's kind of a last resort for everybody. Yeah. Nobody wins in war except for the military industrial complex. But sometimes you have to take a stand. You have to stand up for what you think is right. And even though we might get some of these things wrong, I think there's a sense in which God does honor that. And a lot of those boys that went to war and died on the shores of Normandy did have a sense of Christ-likeness in themselves, that they were able to give up their lives for their neighbor, give up their lives for their friend and their countrymen.
See, now you could take that line that you just read out of the book and apply it to causes, or the cause du jour. I think the difference is this chapter and this letter is talking very much about the Second World War. And in context, it's talking all about people, the causes they think are good being going to war.
Right.
You know, right. And obviously from the British point of view, in defense, not in the German side at the time, as in offense.
Right. You
know, we didn't invade Germany.
Right. You know,
we didn't annex Poland. You know, but that wasn't us doing that. We were defending that side of things. So, that is talking about in here. So it's tying together this whole idea of suffering that Jesus went through on the cross with the suffering that mankind chooses in something that they that the demonic think God doesn't approve on, in being war, but doing it for noble purposes to protect and stop evil. I think C.S. Lewis brilliant putting this together in here.
Yeah, kind of a very tactful way of communicating the complexity of, right. you know, global dynamics, you know, of his day, you know, for us a long time ago, but giving it some good spiritual application as he writes these letters, but still tying in the main message in this case, and the example of thing that we're highlighting, that there, it's a noble cause for people to have died and put up everything for what they thought was right, because without suffering, there's no redemption. And that to me is a universal principle that applies to, you know, whether you're working out at the gym, it applies to whether you're structuring your life, you know, it's going to take a level of cost to accomplish something, all the way up to Jesus at the cross. You know, our hope as humanity is predicated on the fact that Jesus had to suffer in order to bring about a redemption. And we get to kind of live that out in a host of ways.
Yeah. And so it's a bit of a takeaway. It's one of those moments where you think about, what do I want to have written on my tombstone or in my obituary? Mm. And you think to yourself, if you were the person, the fireman running into the burning building, the admiration you have for that person once they're gone is huge. When we have it for the 9/11 firefighters, right, and the emergency workers, the admiration that you would run up those stairs when you've just seen the other building come tumbling down.
Right.
You have
the guys that run in when everybody else is running out.
Right, run out, right.
That is a noble thing. Yeah.
And again, those people who stand in front of evil and take them out, that is, we all die. We all go to heaven. We all, mm-hmm. no. We all die, and whether we go to heaven, I think, is predicated on the idea of, were we saved, and how God looks upon us.
Right. Well, ultimately, based off of whether or not Jesus died at the cross and his suffering counts for us, is our faith in that thing, and we're numbered among the redeemed. But I think there is a sense in which that Christians are supposed to be salt and light and advancing the cause of righteousness. It says in Proverbs, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, you know, and there's something that happens. I think God honors even cultures. I think even cultures that aren't necessarily claiming God in name, but at least advance righteousness and allow righteousness to flourish and fight for it. God can bless those countries and bless those nations, even if he's not saving every person in there. Doing good deeds doesn't save you. You know, standing up for righteousness isn't a thing that merits you salvation in the eyes of God. But certainly God's people should be in the citizenry that are standing up for good, that are rising up in courage and running forward into battle when everyone else is running back. And God blesses those places. God blesses those nations. To me, that's one of the things that make Christians salt and light, that they're willing to be brave and can bless those around them by being the ones willing to sacrifice something.
So yeah, I know there's a great
deep concept here.
Yeah, it is. And I know there's great debate around acts and acts you do to get to heaven. And it's almost like building a ladder with each good deed you do. But I think what Jesus says in here in the gospel, which is, greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. God is love. And if you are willing to do that, that's got to be looked at in God's eyes as a great moment in your life.
I for sure.
Worthy of anointing. For sure. Right?
Right. Right.
You know, you'd hope so, because, you know, I think of those firefighters, and I think of the first responders who put themselves in harm's way and think, I probably couldn't do that.
Right. It's something that God looks at, and I think, you know, whether or not those people are ultimately saved. Again, these acts do not save you and merit you salvation and eternity in heaven. It's Jesus' suffering and Jesus' sacrifice that does that, nothing else. But people that walk this out, I think God has to look down and be pleased with what he sees from the Son of Man.
Right. That's where I was going. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a heavy, weighty, and noble thing. So,
yeah. So that's letter five. It's a great takeaway that C.S. Lewis joined together the humans stepping up, and Jesus is suffering, paralleling it with man's suffering, or the other way around, man's suffering parallel with Jesus's ultimate suffering. But yeah, it's just a great takeaway in there that, you know, suffering and redemption become a huge part of this letter. So until next time, Screwtape Letters, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Biblical Easter Eggs, and we'll see you again.